You know, I think it's very good to understand. You know, nobody has all the answers. I don't have all the answers. Our church doesn't have all the answers. We need each other. Okay? One of my earliest mentors would say over and over again, it takes all types to reach all types. And it does. I mean, you understand, there are lovely Christians who would never come to a meeting like this. Never say never, huh? How many people here 5-10 years ago would never have come to a place like this? Yeah, 20 years for me, I guess. So we have a wonderful Father who is able to take us from place to place. But we need to absolutely be in support of one another and be blessing the church down the road and all the good things that God is doing in other places as well. You understand we're part of a family. We're not a harem. We're a bride. There's a huge difference. Well, one of the things that I absolutely love is hearing testimonies. You know, you can argue theology, and often it's a good thing to do, but you can't argue a testimony. Years ago, we took our 14-year-old son to Nicaragua, and he was in one of the three teams that went into a hospital, and they prayed for, I don't know, a dozen or so people in the hospital, and God healed every single one of them. And so he gets back home at the end of the trip, and he's sharing about this, and his friends at the Christian school, his friends are saying, "Oh, you don't believe that stuff, do you?" Well, he just looks at him and says, "What are you, stupid?" I mean, you can't argue experiential stuff, can you? Which is why I just love to hear testimonies. So if there's anyone that wants to just share a couple of minutes as to maybe what God did earlier today, we'd love to hear from you. Now, if your heart is starting to beat fast, it's you. Yay. Come on up. Tell us your name, where you're from.
John Ludbrook, and I'm from Hamilton here. On Friday, I went and saw my doctor, and he took extensive tests, and he told me to ring him this morning, and he was going to have some answers. Well, I couldn't get hold of him today, but I had an encounter with this couple here from Tokoroa, and they were determined to heal me for everything that it's possible to do. Well, because heart conditions, the pain isn't there all the time. It's there when you exercise. So I couldn't say to them, "Look, I've been healed." But after that, they invited me to go down the hill here to the river and have some lunch. I'll tell you what, lunch and walking's not a great thing anyway. But when I came back and up quite a steep hill, I had no angina at all.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, I have been having angina almost on flat, so it's really is amazing.
Can I get two of you come up here one more time? Just come up.
I want to give praise to God for that anyway.
This is good. Come on up. Yeah. Just go and stand on either side of him, if you can. Now, we're going to join them, all right? So just stretch your hands toward John. Come on over here. And Father, we just bless the good work that you're doing in John. We bless it, and in the name of Jesus, we seal up that good work, that the enemy may not be able to rob you of any of this. That God would pour within you a confident expectation of good in all that he has for you. And for this wonderful couple who have just been determined to speak out against anything where the enemy has brought destruction. Father, I pray that may be the passion of their hearts, their heart's desire to see you come, to see the kingdom come, to see people set free and healed and delivered. Father, I pray that they also may be on that team one day, if it hasn't already happened, where they pray and see you raise a person from the dead. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you guys. Thanks. Thanks, John. Come on up. I'll hold it for you. Oops.
Oh, I'm Francis. I'm from Hamilton, Java City. And God just did such great work in me. This morning, I had a really bad pain in my neck. It's an injury from over 20 years ago. And it's just about all gone. Mm. And there was a lot of hurts from that particular accident. My husband died as a result of. And just so much has happened. My life of hurts. And God's been eating me up. Oh. As I felt so much like on the outer. Something good. Felt God really draw me in.
It's a good place to be, isn't it? In his hands, in his arms, close to his heart. Francis, did you know that you were designed perfectly to fit into his heart, to be with him and to rest in his arms for as long as you like? Any time you like, you were designed for that. So, Father, I bless the good work that you've done in her life. I bless the good work that you will yet do in her life. Lord, we declare none of us are fully there. We're all in process. Thank you for the work that you're doing in each of us, but especially thank you for what you're doing in Francis. So we bless you to continue it, Lord. And I just declare to you, the best days are yet to come. Bless you, Francis. Come on up.
Hi, I'm Derek. I'm from South Africa, that's why I speak so strange. I've been here 4 years now in New Zealand, and coming on and off here to opposite. And God is doing a wonderful work in me. I'm just in very short, I've been booked off for 9 months now with post-traumatic stress and after a traumatic incident at the work. But it was triggered from my military days in South Africa. In my time, we did 2 years compulsory military training, and we were at war at that stage. On the Namibian border with SWAPO and the Russia and Cuba and so on. But anyways, the last few weeks I was really struggling quite badly because it felt if I didn't wasn't recovering. I'm 9 months off from work, and if this was just a little change in home or in the routine, I would get so exhausted for 2-3 days. I couldn't, you know, I had to sleep 3-4 hours extra and so on. And I was really getting a bit desperate. I thought, I'm so long off and I'm not. last week was my birthday. My sister phoned from South Africa. She's a Christian. She said, I can tell you, it's only God that can do something for you. If God doesn't pitch up, I said, yeah, I understand. Because the psychologists, they can tell you what is wrong, but they can't heal it. And it's interesting, 2-3 weeks ago, somebody sent me a little video they made from the war at that time, and when Pieter and I, and it was a song in Afrikaans, I'd send it to this brother here, and when we saw it, we just cried. It's about the war and so on. And some things happened also to me in the church. I was kicked out after I was baptized. That was 30 years ago in the Dutch Reformed Church and by the Brotherhood and so on. But that's a long story. But I never knew I had such anger in my heart about these things. And my son was here from South Africa in December, and he said, "Dad, there's a lot of anger," and so on. And I realized it. And I'm glad I went and I sat down and I wrote a letter to the newspapers in South Africa, what happened to me. And I just felt, you know, it was always under. I never vented it. So, and I said, and I forgive all those people. I told them what happened and so on, and I forgive them. And it was nice this morning when I was there at the back. Sometimes I've forgiven over and over, and I just couldn't get it from me. But this morning, certain faces came up, and it was amazing. It was just as if the Lord was just taking that person's out. And it was so nice. I even felt in my heart, it's okay, I can go back, especially one certain person. I thought, I don't want to see him ever in my life again. But when the Lord took him out of my system, you know, I felt it's okay. I can go back. And I can go and face him. And I can show love to him and so on. But I know there's a lot more to come. This is just a few layers, but there's still a lot of pain and so on. But anyways, but I'm glad what the Lord is doing for me.
Thank you, brother. And you're right, Derek. He's not finished. He's not finished. He's not finished with you. He's not finished with me. He's not finished with us. But Derek, I bless the good choices that you've made. Choices to forgive in impossible situations, I would imagine. And I'm sure we don't understand the half of it, even the things that you've shared, the pain that you've gone through. But you're choosing to follow hard after the one who can heal. And that's where we have to be. So Father, thank you for responding to Derek's good choices. Thank you for the healing that you've poured into his heart, where he's getting in touch with his heart again. He hasn't put up the walls so thick that you can't get through. He hasn't put up the walls so high that he's numb. And that's the only way he can cope. He's choosing to feel again. He's choosing to love again. And Father, I bless that. And as you bring him into deeper and fuller places of healing, he is going to be free. Now, you need to hear this, Derek. You are going to be free in every way. So for the things that are not yet, we speak out as though they were. Freedom to you, Derek. We bless you to continue making those choices as the Lord leads you. We bless you to find that place of rest in Him, that you don't have to be pushed to do anything by yourself or anybody else, but as that He leads you, it's going to happen real well. Bless you. Oh. Thanks, Derek. It's actually wonderful to hear that accent. I was born in Cape Town, South Africa. He talks just like my mom and dad. That's great. There's hope for us all, isn't there? Derek, thank you so much. Sometimes it's hard to come and just share, you know, the deep things. But often freedom is right there as we do share. I think we have time maybe for one more. That was quick.
I'm Jane, and I'm from Tokoroa, and my very, very good friends, they laid hands on me earlier. Oh, no, it was last year now. And I had a healing from this cursed arthritis. But today, when Connie was speaking this morning about her story, part of it was my story. And when my husband died 25 years ago, I was there for everyone else but me. And I determined, okay, I've got to look after myself now. There's no one else. And I've kept people at arm's length. I wouldn't let them do things for me. Steve can testify that I argue with him time after time. No, Steve, it's all right. I can do it myself. And afterwards I think, you silly fool, you can't do it. But today I've been released and I've got such a lightness. I feel as if I've lost 20 stone.
Stretch your hands towards Jean. Father, thank you. Thank you for just responding to her and letting her walk in that place of lightness and fullness and your presence. And Father, we also pray for her that you would seal up that good work. And we just say to that arthritis, you may not return. In the name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus, you may not return. This is not going to be a worry. This is not going to be something that she's got to carry. This is not going to be something that she even needs to be concerned about. But Lord, as she is now freed up to maybe dream again. And Jean, what I'm hearing is, dream. It's okay. Dream. Dream impossible dreams.
Dream dreams.
Lord, if that's what it is, yes. Yes. We ask you for open doors. We ask you for favor. We ask you for strength. We ask you for finances. We ask you for the way. We ask you for good fruit that follows. We ask that you would set the way path before her and that you would cover her with your wings, that your strong arms would be there for her, your warring angels would go before, behind, above, underneath, all around, that this would be an easy thing, that she would know your fingerprint on it all because of the way that it just happens and flows through. Lord, we ask that she may step into the fullness of the dream that you've given to her, that she may yet rejoice all the more in Jesus' wonderful name. Woo!
Yes! 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 Yes!
You know, I've yet to meet anyone that has never... See, this is good. She just loves everybody now. That's what we want to be. That's where we all want to be, see? I've never yet met anybody who has never been hurt. Surprise, surprise. You know, we look around and we think everyone else is so healthy. It's just some have learned to cope a little better. But the hurts are often there at some level. And we don't want to carry around any of those hurts. As was shared, psychologists can tell you what's wrong, and they can help you cope. But they can't heal. Okay? And so we go to the one who can heal. But often it's hard. We have to get honest and bring stuff into the light and be willing to forgive. But he is so faithful as we just make really those little choices that we can step into a fuller place of freedom and life. Connie asked the question earlier today, how do we want to live? I mean, nobody forced you or me to surrender our lives to Jesus, right? We chose freely. And we made a decision to follow him, to be like Jesus. What was he like? He was a forgiver. Now, we don't have to do it, but we freely chose to be like him. What is his heart like? He knows he's going to be hurt. Our Heavenly Father knows he's going to be hurt by me, maybe by you, but certainly by me. Not intentionally. It's just that, that stuff happens. But he never closes his heart to me or to you. Do we want our... But he never closes his heart to me or to you. Do we want a heart like that? That was Connie's question. The answer is, yes, we do. Either we go numb, we build a wall so high and really don't live, or we choose to risk, deal with the issues, and find him as a loving father. That is a way better place to be. That, I think, is what God is calling his church worldwide to. A loving relationship with him. A belief, not just here. I mean, if I asked any of you, does God love you? I know what you'd say. Yes. The issue's here. You know, every time the prayer doesn't get answered quite the way we had hoped, every time there's a disappointment, every time there's a betrayal, every time there's something, there's this issue in our hearts to say, see, God really isn't there for me. And so the issue is often to have our hearts evangelized again and again and again and again and again. But as our hearts begin to believe that we do have a Heavenly Father who loves us, then it's easy to follow him and do anything. The world is conquerable. I mean, can you imagine if this room had a gifting to raise people from the dead, every one of you? Okay? How long would it take to win New Zealand? I figure 2 days would do it. Now, next question is this. Is that impossible?
No.
Get ready. Get ready. That's the bottom line. Jesus himself said, you and me, we do even greater things. Greater than raising people from the dead? Come on. Can you imagine? So get ready for some good stuff yet that's going to happen. Are you ready, my dear? Why don't we stretch our hands to Connie? Father, we just ask that your anointing would rest over Connie, that you would season her words with your salt. Father, we want to hear words that bring us to life, that bring us to places of passion, deeper passion for you. And we ask, Lord, that her words would not just be the logos. We appreciate the logos. We ask, Lord, that her words may be rhema words. Father, we ask that we might be uttering the same things that those two disciples on the road to Emmaus said after Jesus disappeared. Did not our hearts burn as he talked to us? Father, that's the place we want to be. So let your anointing just fall over her as she just finds that place of rest in you. Just break off expectation right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we just invite you to do it. Amen.
Whoa, when the Holy Spirit shows up on me, my eyes... Whoa, when the Holy Spirit shows up on me, my eyes leak. My nose runs. And I yawn. Well, I don't know. But, you know, I mean, we used to think when people yawned, it was always the demons leaving, right? But, yeah. But, you know, and what I find is when the Holy Spirit comes, it's like, you think about it, when you have a yawn, what in the physical is happening? You're taking in oxygen that you need, right? And that's what I'm doing, is I'm taking in the oxygen, the life of the Holy Spirit. When that happens, I guess. Anyway, just hang on a second here. I think the Holy Spirit must be here. That's good. Well, as Jeremy said, we want to be able to move in the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. Do you want to move in the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit? Now, we talked about first, he wants intimacy first, doesn't he? If he wants intimate relationship, and I think the Lord has been going deep into our spirits this weekend already, hasn't he? And that intimate connection with him is just getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And then he just wants to release his anointing. He wants you and I to go out into this world and to be the bearers of the kingdom to the nations. He wants to cover the earth with his glory like the waters covered the sea. And he's going to start it through you and me. Because we're his glory carriers all through the earth. As we take the kingdom out all over the earth, it's going to spread through you and me. Wow. All of us. Just ordinary little you and me. Right? Don't have to be big superstar, a big important person. Don't have to be big superstar, a big important person or big spiritual person like Trish. You know. But just all of us, you and me, little people, we can do this under the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. So tonight we want to talk about ministering in the anointing. How we can, you know, in our daily life, we can be ministering in his anointing, moving in his anointing. And before we do, I want to tell a story about something that happened again a year ago in India when we took, actually from our church, we took 10 teams to India. And hit the 10 largest cities in India doing international leaders, pastors and leaders schools. So we took 10 teams, there were 130, 140 of us all together that went. And we gathered people up from all over the world. It's not just people from our own church, but most of it was our leadership that led the teams. And so Jeremy and I led a team, and we went to this city called Nagpur. And we even had some Australian people with us who came, Ian and Anne. They were part of our team. Yes, I was getting there. John and Janice, who were supposed to be here with us this weekend from Canada, but they came with us as well. We had a girl from Brazil that was with us, two pastors from England who came as part of our team as well. We had, I think, 14 people or something on our team, didn't we? An amazing team. I'm sure we had the best team. We had this most amazing time. I'm sure if you ask Ian and Anne, they've got story after story after. They were just telling us again today how there's some of the people from there, from the church there, that are still emailing them and calling them mom and dad, still looking to them for guidance and discipleship and all that. It's just an amazing. We had an amazing trip. So that was a year ago. When we took them through a lot of the things like you're going through this weekend, only like a whole week of it. A whole week of different things, getting our hearts healed up. And I'll tell you, especially the ladies, when they came, you could see a real oppression over them. The women there have been very, very oppressed, very abused. And this, you know, they just the sadness and oppression over them for the first 2 days. But then as the Lord was healing their hearts of so many things and freeing them up, I'll tell you, after 2 days, these ladies were glowing in the presence of God. It was just amazing, the transformation that was happening even in a couple days. Well, it was 5 days long. And by the end of it, we talked about ministering in the anointing, getting filled up and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we got them all filled and everything, and they went home so full of the power of the Holy Spirit on them that there were three pastors that went. Do you remember the one pastor, the big guy who wore the Hawaiian shirts all the time? Aubrey, okay. He's a bishop, they call him, a pastor over a number of pastors and churches. And these three pastors went home from our school, and they got on the train to go back home, because Nagpur is in the very, very center, literally the very center of India. There's a pole in the center of the town that is a symbol of the exact center of all of India. And they got on the train then to go back home. And they stopped at one of the train stations where one of the pastors was going to get off because he lived there. And there's this one young blind man got on the train to beg. Apparently he begs there at the station all the time. And so these three men, full of the Holy Spirit, waiting to lay their hands on somebody and that anointing to flow. Anyway, they're so excited. This one pastor just said to him, "Do you want to see?" And he was just kind of stunned and said, "Well, no one's ever asked me that before, because I've been blind since birth, you know." He's a 23-year-old man. And they said, "Well, do you want to see?" He thought about it. He said, "Yeah, I would really like to be able to see." And he said, "I know someone who heals. His name is Jesus. Can you pray? Would you let us pray for you that Jesus would heal you?" He said, "Yeah, you can do that." And by then, apparently the anointing was so strong in this train car that there were about eight ladies sitting there all weeping you know, for the presence of God that's so strong in this place. And sure enough, they pray for him, and he can see for the first time in his life. Whoa, isn't that amazing? The story goes on. You see, they got off the train station then, and then the pastor, I mean, everyone around knows this guy because he's been begging for years at the station. And so there's this, we call it kerfuffle. Do you talk about kerfuffles? Okay. I've been laughed at when I say that sometime. Anyway, there's, depending on what country I'm in, but there's this real kerfuffle at the train station because everyone's saying, he can see, he can see. So the pastor got up and started preaching and telling them, he can see, he can see. So the pastor got up and started preaching and telling them, this was Jesus that healed them. Does anyone want to accept Jesus? And, you know, people are accepting Jesus right in the train station. Started a little revival at this train station. Well, they took this young man home to the pastor's house that lived in that town, and they had him all, you know, shower, and they gave him fresh clothes because he had been in beggar's rags, and so he got all showered and everything. They fed him a meal, and then they took him home to his mother. Can you imagine seeing his mother for the first time? And his mother, who, of course, you know, longing in her heart all of these years would have been for her son to be able to see, and he can see now. Well, I'll tell you, it started another kerfuffle in the whole neighborhood. You know, and everyone, apparently they give out candies when they're celebrating stuff. They're handing out candies to everybody. There's this big celebration in the whole neighborhood because this young man can now see. And they're all saying to the pastor, where's your church? Where's your church? We're all coming there on Sunday. And they did. And they all went to church and they all accepted Jesus, you know, all left, right, and center, started a whole revival in their whole neighborhood. And it was wonderful, you know. So we're getting this excited email from this pastor where we had been in Nagpur, telling all about the story about what had happened. And, I mean, that was so exciting. Well, a couple of months later, we get another email from the pastor. He said, do you remember that young man, that young 23-year-old man? Well, he has been so full of the fire of the Holy Spirit on him. He's going around. He says he's going to be wants to be in full-time ministry now. Brand new Christian, right? But he's going around and healing the sick everywhere that he goes. Everybody's getting healed. He's praying for. I mean, doesn't that sound like the second chapter of Acts or what? Wow. Revival because of the empowering of the Holy Spirit upon ordinary people like you and me. And those kinds of stories are happening all around the earth right now. Things that are taking place, signs and wonders and miracles that are taking place, causing revivals everywhere. It's a demonstration of the power of God, and it's through ordinary people like you and me. I say he wants to heal up our hearts, make us more pure, holy vessels for him to flow through. But he wants to use you and me, all of us, every one of us. He wants to empower us to be able to move in the power of the kingdom like that. So I want to talk about how we can move more in that power and that anointing of the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk a little bit about what the anointing is and how it works, how it operates, and how it can operate in your life. So it's in 1 Corinthians 2, 1-4 is when it says, I did not, this is Paul saying, I did not come with persuasive words, but in the power of God. So we want to be able to move in the power of God, a demonstration. I'll tell you, more and more people everywhere these days are moving in that kind of power and anointing. There are, and it says ordinary people, like we've got this one group of young people that live in a church near us, and they came to the youth conference. We have a youth conference every Easter. And I tell you, there's, you know, up to 6,000 or 7,000 young people passionate for God. That is just an amazing thing to behold. But these kids got back on the bus after the conference, again, full of the power of the Holy Spirit by the end of the weekend conference. And they got on the bus. They went back to go to their hometown again and get off at the regular hamburger place. I think it was a Harvey's. You probably don't have Harvey's here. Okay, but anyway, a hamburger joint. So they went to this. They went into the Harvey's, and they're all drunk and falling about in the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit. And everyone started looking at them, and what is up with you? And they're saying, it's okay. It's just God. Wow. And they're saying, anybody else want this? You know, and they started, you know, witnessing, and apparently they're at first there were just a couple of the waitresses around that they wanted to. more of what's going on. Why are you so excited? And why are you so happy? And what's going on with you? And these kids start sharing with them about this conference that they've been at, and about, you know, what God had been doing for them, and how, you know, all these wonderful things. And so the two waitresses accept Jesus. And then some other people come in into the restaurant again. It's starting a whole revival just in this little hamburger store. This is happening more and more all the time as people are starting to realize the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God is living within them and goes forth everywhere that they go. And it's bursting forth from them wherever they go. As you catch a hold of this knowledge of that what is you are carrying around in the inside of you, you're a little powerhouse, you know. You are, you are. And that power is released from you wherever you go. Whoa, okay. So first comes from a place of intimacy and then empowerment. He wants to release to those he's in relationship. I'm going to talk about, first starting in the Old Testament, about the anointing or anointing by oil that took place at that time. Do you know, in the Old Testament, only certain people had the Holy Spirit and only for specific reasons. You know, for a specific call over their life, like if you're a king, you got anointed, and there's anointing of the Holy Spirit that comes on them to be a king. So it's only for specific purposes. Now, in the New Testament, because of what Jesus did on the cross, now the anointing is for all of us. We all get the Holy Spirit. Wow. They didn't have that in the Old Testament, but we do. Well, in the Old Testament, it started out with, for instance, oil, as I said, was applied to people or things to consecrate them, make them holy to the Lord, marked for a special holy purpose. You can look at Exodus 30, verses 23 to 33 for that. Or when Samuel anointed Saul as king, what he said is that he said to Saul, you can expect to be changed into a different person. He gave him this long prophetic word over him. In fact, he told about what was going to happen, which happened later in 1 Samuel 10, where he said to Saul, he said, you're going to go up the hill, and you're going to go to this place, and you're going to do this, and this and this is going to happen. And when you come down the hill, you're going to meet a group of prophets, and they're going to prophesy over you with their instruments. That's interesting. With their instruments. Okay. Prophesy over you with their instruments, and when they do, the Spirit of the Lord is going to fall on you, and you're going to get changed into a different person. And then, if you read there, it's exactly, as he said, he was looking for his father's donkeys. And he went, and all the same things that Samuel had prophesied all happened to him. And then the Holy Spirit landed on him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was changed into a different person, and he prophesied. Okay, so there was the anointing happened first. It was like there was a bit of a delay. But then the power of the Holy Spirit landed upon him. And when, as I said, it started when he was anointed with oil. David then was also anointed as king by Samuel. Now, I want to ask a question. Would you rather have David's anointing or Saul's anointing? If you'd rather have Saul's anointing, raise your hand. Nobody. No taken. How many would rather have David's anointing? You're all wrong. It's the same anointing. They're both even anointed by Saul or Samuel. Yeah, it's the same anointing. The difference is, what did they do with their anointing? What was their heart like? Whoa, that's the difference. We all want an anointing of the Holy Spirit, don't we? But we want to be careful about what we do with that anointing. And we want to get our hearts right, get our hearts healed, so that we use it in the way that God wants us to use it. Okay, so that was a trick question, wasn't it? Okay, well, with David, at the very moment, you didn't like me tricking you like that, Trish. You got the Bible quiz answer wrong, Trish. Well, with David, the very moment that he was anointed, then the Spirit of the Lord fell upon David. And it was upon him from that time forward. You can look in 1 Samuel 16, verse 13 for that. So in both cases, these men were marked for a holy purpose and given authority by the anointing of oil, and it triggered a release of the Holy Spirit. Okay, and then Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. Isaiah said that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him because the Lord had anointed him. And it was like a direct infusion again of the Holy Spirit, which is really the New Testament meaning of it, of the direct infusion of the power of the Holy Spirit when that anointing comes onto you. Let's look at Jesus' anointing. Even Jesus didn't minister until after he was baptized by the Holy Spirit. Baptized in water by John. And at that point, the Holy Spirit came and landed upon him. And he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. That's Matthew 3, 16 and 17. Heaven was open. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and landing on him. Luke 4, 14 tells us that after Jesus was baptized, which is when the Spirit came upon him, he then went out in power of the Spirit to Galilee. There is an infusion of the power of the Holy Spirit upon even Jesus. There is an infusion of the power of the Holy Spirit upon even Jesus. Wow. Again, I think it was very symbolic for us, wasn't it? And then Jesus also quoted Isaiah 61 to say that God had anointed him to preach the gospel and to heal the sick. So again, the anointing means that applied power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, keep that in mind. In Acts 10:38, it says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing. He was anointed with power of the Holy Spirit. And then just before John the Baptist baptized him, Jesus said, he said that Jesus would baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Whoa. The fire of the Holy Spirit. Whoa. That's Matthew 3, verse 11. So Jesus received an empowering by the Holy Spirit, and then he began to give it away. Like, you know, why do we talk about catch the fire or spread the fire and all these fire terms? It's because it can be imparted, and it's infectious, and it spreads like wildfire. That's what we noticed. It does. It just goes like wildfire everywhere it goes. Well, with Jesus, he began to give it away. Well, he gave it away, first of all, to the 12 disciples, right? The ones that he was in relationship with, the ones he was intimate with. It doesn't mean they didn't mess up, right? We all know Peter, he sure messed things up. So it's not that he's looking for perfection before he gave it away to them. But he's looking for people that understood his heart, people that he had imparted that intimate relationship with. So Luke 9:1 says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power. It's the word dunamis in Greek. He gave them dunamis power and authority, which is exousia, to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. See, he's given us authority and power. Now, what's authority? We already talked about the centurion who knew what it was like to be under command and to have people under his command. And authority, well, it's like a policeman. If there was a policeman out on this road, and he was directing traffic, I mean, hopefully you would obey him, wouldn't you? Yeah. Well, I mean, he's just this man standing in the middle of the road, this huge, big truck. Do you have Mack trucks? Yeah, these big Mack trucks could come up and just plow them down, couldn't they? But why do they stop? Because he has authority. It's because they know that he's been given authority by the whole legal system. He's got the whole legal system backing him up, right? And so he has been given this authority to direct this traffic. That's what his job is. That's what he's supposed to do. And so that's why people will obey him and listen to him. Well, it's the same thing with us in the spirit realm. You've been given authority. You've been given a job to do, right? What are the things we've been told to do, the beginner's list Jeremy talked about? Heal the sick, preach the gospel, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out the demons. Okay, that's our beginner's list. Because Jesus gathered up. See, first he gave it to the 12, and then he said, okay, now we're the 72. 72 others. They are the ones he gave that beginner's list to. The very first time he sent them out to go do these things. Whoa. Okay, so he first gave it to the 12, and then he gave it to the 72 others. Can you imagine what it looked like when Jesus gave that dunamis power and that exousia authority to the disciples, what it must have looked like? Right? What does it feel like sometimes when you get, you know, have any of you felt sort of like you get blasted by the Holy Spirit, we sometimes call it, right? Can you imagine? It doesn't say what their reaction was, But if he gave that to them, I can imagine it's power that he was giving to them to now give away. Well, sometimes, you know, people think, why do people shake and why do people do that kind of thing? Well, when God touches you, it's amazing you even live through it. Why should we be surprised if our bodies react to it? Yeah? Anyway, let's go on. So they were given the power of the Spirit and the authority to release it to bring the kingdom of God into the life situations of the people that he came to minister to. Now, Judas, was he given the same power and authority? He was sent out with the 12, wasn't he? Again, what did he do with it? His heart turned, didn't it? It's what he did with it. The problem is he wanted a kingdom of power rather than of intimacy. He had the same anointing, but it was twisted in his hand. Without integrity, your anointing is actually going to be detrimental to you. Without integrity, your anointing is actually going to be detrimental to you. It's very dangerous, very dangerous. If people don't get their hearts healed up, there's a potential of everything blowing up, which is then made public and it brings reproach to the body of Christ. How many of you know of any very anointed ministers who have fallen, brought great reproach to the body of Christ, but were they anointed? Yeah, powerfully anointed. They still are. No, but it's what we do with it, what our hearts are like. When we talk about getting our hearts healed up, just like we were talking about today, about forgiving, about releasing, having our hearts made pure, and letting God do whatever he wants in our hearts, it's because if we allow him to do that, cleanse us, yeah, we're not going to be perfect. We're not going to make all the right choices. But God knows our hearts, and he sees the direction we're pointing in, and he knows that we really, really want to have our hearts healed. And as we allow him to do that and do that cleansing work in us, then he wants to be able to use us in that power and that anointing. But he knows then that he can trust us to handle it with the care that we should. We want to value and treasure the anointing that God has given us, and we want to be careful how we use it. So after Jesus gave it to the 12, it said he sent it out to the 72 others. That's Luke 10, verse 1. That's multiplication. Right? Giving it away, spreading it. The fire spreading now. Jesus also then, as we talked earlier about using the prayer of command. He taught them how to do that. This is how you're going to pray. Kingdom of God come, will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. Doing it because he's our commander, giving us the authority to do it. Now, it's interesting that the Holy Spirit can live inside us. Does Holy Spirit live inside you? If you've asked Jesus to come and live in your heart, the Holy Spirit has come to take up residence in your life. He lives inside you. Whoa. Just like Jeremy was saying, you know, we're one with the Father, one with the Son, one with the Holy Spirit. He now lives inside us. And we also live in him. And with the Holy Spirit, in John 2, verse 20 and verse 27, it says that all believers have an anointing received from him who abides in us, which not only teaches us but brings us into closer contact with him, that we can abide in him. So the Holy Spirit is living in us if we've received him, but that we are also immersed in or baptized in the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit lives in us and we are immersed in the Holy Spirit. Apparently it works both ways around. Now, the Holy Spirit, Jesus had said, is also a person, isn't he? A wonderful person. Jesus describes him in John 14, verse 16, 17, and 26. Jesus said, "You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you, the helper, the Holy Spirit." He all these wonderful qualities of the Holy Spirit. He's a person. Wonderful person that Jesus talks about. Someone we have a relationship with. But have you noticed that the Holy Spirit's also described in terms of pourable substances? Like what? Water? Oil? Wine? Yeah. You know, all these pourable kind of substances. That's what they all have in common, isn't it? They're liquid as wind as well. Yeah, you can see the effects of it. Yeah. But it's pourable substances. Apparently the Holy Spirit is something like that. The Holy Spirit can be poured out upon us. And the anointing flows as a tangible kind of substance. Joel 2, 16 to 17 says, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Didn't he? It's a pouring out. Then there's also, not only is it pourable, but he is pourable, but which is different than we understand of a person, isn't it? So different, different quality. But also, remember when Jesus was with the woman with the issue of blood? And that woman pressed in to Jesus for her healing. And she thought, if I just touch the hem of his garment, right? Did you know that because of her condition, she was actually not even supposed to be in public at all? She was unclean. She was not supposed to be in public. But she pressed in anyway for her healing, to touch the hem of his garment to be healed. And then Jesus stopped and he said, who touched me? I felt power go out from me. Well, then the disciple says, what do you mean? Like, there are people pressing in all around you. The crowds are pressing in. What do you mean someone touched you? And he said, I felt the power go out from me. And then, so he wanted to know who it was that touched him. What did it feel like when he felt that power? He could tangibly feel power going out from him. I think it was probably something like electricity, like a current that would just flowed out from him. Because many of us, how many of you felt the Holy Spirit like a current, an electrical current? Well, there's quite a number of you, yeah. So again, it's something like that. Current of electricity that flows, that shoots out, right? And it was shooting out from him and touching the woman. What is it that triggered that? Faith. Because Jesus said, it's your faith that's made you well. Because other people were pressing and touching him too. But she's the one that got the healing because her faith is what triggered it. It's, faith is your currency of heaven, to receive from heaven. So the Holy Spirit's in us, and we are in the Holy Spirit. And so it's like the Holy Spirit is like living water that is in us and living water that we're in, because we're immersed in water and baptized in water, baptized in the water of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is one who talked a lot about the Holy Spirit being like living water, didn't he? He said in John chapter 4, verses 10 to 14, with the woman at the well, he said that if you drink of the water that I give you, he said, you'll get so full of the Holy Spirit, it'll be like wells of living water springing up from within you. And then he goes on in John chapter 7, verses 37 to 38, saying that we can drink of this living water. And that out of our hearts will flow rivers of living water. So it's like water that you can drink, water that is in you, flows into you, and then water that flows out from you. Wow. So let's repeat this again. Here we are. The Holy Spirit is in us, and we're immersed in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes upon us in an anointing and flows out from us, doesn't it? And that flow of his Holy Spirit. And there are many times that we can actually feel it go out like that, coming out from us. Well, okay, let's keep going here. Whoa. The Holy Spirit is not something that we use, but instead he uses us. Now, it's interesting, though, that again, because he's given us a job to do, we're already doing it in his power, his authority and his power to do it. We're stepping out, so we're not being presumptuous. That's when we pray the prayer of command, are we? Because he told you to do it, then you just go and do it because your commander told you to do it. So you're releasing the power of the kingdom. And so when you're doing the job he's given you to do, you can count on the fact he is going to back you up. Just like that policeman out in the road. He knows if someone violates the law, when he's been telling them, no, you go this way, you can't go that way. If someone violates that and he gives them a ticket for it, he's got the whole legal system that's going to back him up. He can be assured of that, can't he? You can be assured of it if you're going and doing the kingdom work and you're doing it in the power and authority God's given you to do it, to do the job he's given for you to do, then he's going to back you up. The Holy Spirit's going to be there to back you up and flow up from you. Well, I'm going to talk about some of the principles of anointing. And if you want to learn some of the principles of how anointing works, it's good to read, especially with Elijah and Elisha. And Elisha, in particular, going to talk about him. There's some, but a number of different examples from both of those prophets. But with Elisha, the anointing was first preceded by a call. Okay, you have a call of God upon you. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. Right? He prepared in advance some things for you to do. Nobody else can do them, only you. There are people you can touch in the area that you work in or where you live. There are people you can touch that none of us, the rest of us can touch. No one else can. Only you can. He's given you a specific job. He created you to do those things. He's given you a call. A call, and then wants to anoint you and empower you for the call that he's given to you. Every one of us has a calling over our lives to do something, to do that kingdom work that he prepared in advance for us to do. Well, with Elisha, he received a call. It's like a stirring in your spirit. We talked about the dreams last night, didn't we? The dream and the vision God's given you. He will give you a dream and a vision for the things he's calling you to do. And so you'll feel that stirring of the spirit within you, and then you get a confirmation of the call. With Elisha, he got that confirmation when Elijah came and threw a mantle over him when he's busy plowing his father's field. And that was to call him to come and be his disciple. And Elisha immediately, what he did is he took that plow and he chopped it into pieces and he burned it and burned the oxen on it as well. And then gave it to feed all of the people. The principle there is that, again, he received this call. This is 1 Kings 19, verse 19. The first was that he had a call. It was confirmed by Elijah's putting that mantle on him. The second thing was then Elisha had to respond to the call. And sometimes that call, the response, your response to the call of God in your life might cost you something. You might have to sacrifice something. But that sacrifice releases blessing to other people. And that's what happened when he slaughtered his oxen, burned the plow, and cooked the meat, gave the meat to the people to eat. He used what was actually his means of livelihood is what he offered as a sacrifice, and it released a blessing to others. For Peter, James, and John, what was it that they sacrificed? Their fishing nets, wasn't it? They gave up their fishing and their boat. That's Matthew 4, verse 20 to 22. Then what did Paul say? Paul said, what he had previously counted as gain, he now considered as loss. And in order that he may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus had also laid hold of him. Philippians 3, verse 20. Everything he had, he counted as loss. Because what he gained was so much more precious. So much more precious. And then he said that this offering and the suffering that he endured was so that others could have life. Again, others were blessed as a result of his sacrifice and his suffering. That's 2 Corinthians 4:10 to 12. What about Jesus? He's our ultimate example of everything, isn't he? What did he give up? Glory, heaven, everything. He had everything. And he gave it all up. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says he gave up everything and became poor so that we can become rich. The third thing, after responding to it and laying down. Sometimes you have to sacrifice. Sometimes it's laying aside your own pride. Sometimes it's laying aside your own comforts. For me, it's giving up my own bed every night to come and bless you people. It's worth it. Although I keep saying, Lord, you know, people were transported in the Bible, you know. I say, can I be transported to my own bed every night? I think that's a reasonable request, don't you? One day. I'm going for it. The third thing then is to follow a mentor. Find someone that has the kind of anointing that you want to grow in and the gifting that's in your life. Like if you're prophetic, have you noticed if you hang around someone that's really prophetic, you can prophesy easier. Hang around a mentor. But with Elisha and Elijah, there's something really key here for when you want a mentor. Elisha came along to be his servant. You want a mentor? Find someone you can serve. Don't go saying, can you mentor me? Can you give to me? Can you bless me? Can you anoint me? Can you impart to me? No, no. Can I serve you? We want to have the heart of a servant to serve, just like Elisha. And Elisha then was able to receive that. We also know it takes persistence. Elisha had persistence, didn't he? Because he was told, yes, if you want to have that man, Elijah's a mantle when Elijah leaves this earth, then you have to be with him when he departs this earth. And Elisha had to pursue him, even though there was one time Elijah asked him to go and do something else for him, and he said, no, I won't leave you. And he knew, I'm going to grab hold of this, I'm going to pursue. You have to pursue that anointing and want and desire it. Just like when I talked about John Arnott, and they said, and the guy who prayed for him said, do you want it? Yes, I want it. Then take it. You have to desire it. Do you have a desire in your heart for more of that anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life? Well, there's an impartation that does take place. Now, the 12 received an impartation of the Holy Spirit's anointing from Jesus. Who then sent them out to do that supernatural kingdom work. And this helps to define the anointing as a transferable phenomena, right? It gave it away to the 12, and then it gave it away to the 72 others, and it spread from that point on. That something happened in the unseen spiritual world when that took place. It also transfers by the more direct means of the laying on of hands and prayer ministry. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7 says, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So it was through the impartation by the laying on of hands. Now, it's interesting to me that there is a parallel between what happened in Jesus' ministry. Have you noticed that he fulfilled so many things of the Old Testament? So many things. It's amazing. When you think about the fact that with Moses, for instance, there were 12 tribes of Israel, right? Jesus had 12 disciples. There were leaders over each of those 12 tribes. So they're the 12 elders over these 12 tribes of Israel. And then Moses was told to call forth 72 others. And Jesus had sent forth 72 others, didn't he? The multiplication again of the anointing. Now in Numbers 11 is when Moses gave an impartation to the 72 elders. And I'm going to read to you what it says, Numbers 11, 24 and 25. These are exact words from Scripture. It says, he took of the Spirit that was on him and put the Spirit on the 70 elders. You hear that? He took it of the Spirit that was on him and put it on them. Again, through the laying on of hands, he gave it away to them. Now, it's interesting, there were 72 elders, but two of them weren't there that day. And yet, they got hit where they were by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they got the anointing anyway, which is kind of cool. But anyway, 72 there and 72 with Jesus as well that he had sent out. Now, in the book of Acts, Peter and John laid hands on the people, and they were so filled with the Holy Spirit that Simon, the ex-sorcerer, who had become a believer, he was so amazed at the power. So obviously he saw something, didn't he? Something so powerful, because he had been a sorcerer, and people followed him because of the magic, and they saw the power of the enemy before he became a Christian. And now he could see power, the real power that was released when when these disciples of Jesus laid hands on people. So much so that he tried to buy it for money. He said, if I pay you, will you give me that anointing so that when I lay hands on people, that they will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit as well? And that's when Peter turned around to him and said, your heart is full of bitterness and sin. He saw that his attitude, the motives of his heart, were not right at all. Again, the same kind of thing. He was a believer at that point. He was a believer. And yet, it's like he had the wrong motives and thought he could buy it for money. But notice it's bitterness that was in his heart. Again, that's why it's so important for leaders, anyone that wants to move in any kind of anointing, any kind of empowering, any kind of ministry, if you get your hearts right and get bitterness out of your heart. Work through forgiveness issues. Work through releasing from judgment issues. All of these things. Get our hearts purified because of what it will do to us and to the ministry and to the body of Christ if we don't have our hearts healed up first. It's so key that we've seen that many times over, haven't we? Many times over when people don't get their hearts healed. Well, it's power of the Holy Spirit flowing through ordinary people like you and me to bring the power of the kingdom to the earth. Well, the amount of anointing that is transferred is dependent on a number of things, but three in particular. One is the degree of the anointing on the person that lays hands on you or your mentor, the degree of the anointing, and the kind of anointing they have. You know, sometimes people come up, they're, you know, worship leaders, and they say, Jeremy, they want you to, you know, they want Jeremy to pray for them. And again, it's not us. Like, we don't have anything of us to give. But if there's an anointing that the Holy Spirit's given to us, we want to give it away. We gladly give it away. And often we say, too, with the two of us, like, it's, we're just very ordinary people. But we've been hanging around in the anointing. But we've been hanging around in the anointing in Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship for 20 years. And especially now it's been, what, 16 years? 1994. Yeah, this is 16 years. We're coming up to our 16th year anniversary on the 20th of this month. 16 years ago when God fell in power at our church. And we've been in that anointing, hanging around that, and it's been rubbing off on us. So it's not anything to do with us, but it's to do with the anointing that has rubbed off on us, that we gladly give it away. So part of it has to do with the amount of anointing the person has that prays for you or lays hands on you and imparts to you. The second is the receptivity of the learner. Are you open and receptive? How much do you want it? How much do you want that anointing and empowering of the Holy Spirit upon your life? Do you really want it? Are you willing to pursue it? To say, I want more. And third is the providence of God. This is probably the most important one, that God has a call over your life. He wants to anoint you for the gifting and the calling that he's called you for. And he wants you to receive that from him. And sometimes you'll receive just a download of empowering by the Holy Spirit even when you least expect it. And it's totally sovereign. God is the one who decides how much he's going to be giving out. Whoa. See, the Holy Spirit now that's in you, it's poured in upon you, the anointing and filling you. You get so filled up that it comes out forth from you everywhere you go. It's almost like, you know, you stretch out your hands and power flows out. Whoa. Look at your hands for a minute. Say, there is power in those hands. Whoa. Who are you going to lay your hot little hands on? Whoa. Whoa. And sometimes it's like when you realize that, it's like there's a release that happens. It's like, I mean, I don't know if some of you know who Duncan Smith is. He was one of our pastors down in Raleigh, North Carolina, running a church down there, started a church down there, Catch the Fire Church. And Duncan, often all of a sudden he goes, phew, like he's shooting you with a gun. You know, that's just one of the things that happens to him when the power of the Holy Spirit comes on. But you know, he talks about it's like a release. You know, like you're shooting somebody, and it works. And there's a scripture that talks about, it's in Habakkuk, when it talks about when Jesus comes, it calls him the Holy One there, because they didn't call it Jesus yet in the Old Testament. But it says, when the Holy One comes, it says there's going to be rays of light. I think I need to read it so I get the right words here. Habakkuk is one of those books that's a little hard to find. It's kind of tiny. Okay, Habakkuk. Yeah, in chapter 3, verse 3, God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth, and his splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hands where his power was hidden. Who lives inside you? Jesus lives inside you. That means when you hold up your hands and power is shooting out like rays of sun, bolts of lightning coming out from his hands. When you raise up your hands like that, that's what's happening, is his power shooting out from your hands. Whoa. No wonder the laying on of hands is such a powerful thing. Because Jesus lives inside us, and it's released through us when we pray for people and lay hands on people. You see, when you're praying for people, you can be aware of the fact that there's something shooting out from you to them to heal the sick. There's something that's shooting out from you. There's an empowering. There's an authority that flows out from you to cast out the demons. Whoa. There's a power and an authority within you, and that power and this ray shooting out from you that will raise the dead. Whoa. Do you believe? Do you believe? Jesus said, if you believe, you will see the glory of the Lord. Do you believe? We will see these things if we believe and if we put our trust in him. As we step out and we risk to dare to stretch out those hands that are full of power of the Holy Spirit. I think I might have shared this one story with you when I came last time a couple years ago, but about this lady with the floppy gloves. Does anybody remember the floppy glove story? I'm pretty sure I shared it. I must have. Yeah, you remember, Jenny. Jenny remembers. Thank you, Jenny. Somebody remembers something I said. Yeah, okay. But it's about this little lady from England who came to her. And she heard the oneness message like Jeremy was preaching on earlier today. And that we're one with Jesus, and so Jesus lives in me. And the fact that then, it's like all we have to do is we have to just be like a floppy glove. You know, a glove that just kind of hangs there. Think of it like a surgical glove, real limp and everything. But then, you know, you put a hand in that glove, and, oh, it comes alive and can do so many things, can't it? But otherwise, it just hangs there limp. Well, we're the floppy glove. And Jesus and his power comes and lives in us. Now, that glove can do all kinds of things. Well, this little old lady from England, very quiet, meek little lady, she's saying, she was just a very ordinary person, very quiet and shy. But she came and gave her testimony because she got this, and she went home to England. And in England, she worked as a nurse's assistant in a convalescent home for young people. A convalescent home means that they're there until they die. They've got degenerative diseases or they've had some accident where they cannot no longer function, take care of themselves. They're there until they die. They're not ever expected to get out. She said there are about 30 or 40 young people that were in this convalescent home. And she was a nurse's assistant. And when she realized that she was just a floppy glove for Jesus, the kingdom of God lived in her because Jesus lived in her. And so she thought, you know, when I'm going around my work and I'm doing these things, Jesus is touching these people, not just me. But Jesus is touching these people. And she was just thinking about that, and she was conscious of that. She's working. Jesus is touching these people. She said after about 2 weeks, she came into work, and this one young man was standing on one side of the room, and his wheelchair was standing on the other side. And she said, how'd you get over there? She said, I walked. Whoa. She said, I knew it. Jesus was touching him when I went around and touched. And so now she's getting a little more vocal. And a little braver, you know. So now she's saying a little more out loud. You know, when I touch you, Jesus is touching you. You know, Jesus is healing. Jesus is here. He's touching and he's healing. And his power is going up. You know, she's just getting more vocal about it. And she said within about 2 months, that young man was released from the hospital. They helped him get his own apartment to be independent again. Yay, God. Wow. Not only that, another couple months after that, there was a total of 4 young people released from that hospital. Now, when she gave her testimony, she could say, I'm just an ordinary woman, but I have an extraordinary God. I'm just an ordinary person, but I've got an extraordinary God. And you can see this, you know, she was just so realizing the power of the kingdom of God lived inside her. And Jesus, living inside her, was touching everyone that wherever she went and touched them. See, that's what happens wherever you go. You can flow in the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit because he's given you a calling and he will empower you to do the things that he's called you to do. You can count on it. Wow. By the power of the Holy Spirit within you. Whoa. Does anyone want to get filled up more with the Holy Spirit? Yeah, I think we should do that tonight. In fact, I was thinking, when you know when Jesus was talking about drinking of wells of living water, he kept talking about the Holy Spirit being like drinking. Well, what do you do when you drink? Just think about it for a minute. You know, if you've got a cup of water, right? Now, you have to open your mouth. In other words, you have to receive, don't you? It's a taking in of the Holy Spirit. You take him into yourself. So let's take a prophetic symbol where the natural speaks of the supernatural and what's taking place in the supernatural realm. That's all this is. Where Jesus gave us this picture. If you want to, you can just put out your hand like you've got a cup in your hand. And Jesus said to drink of living water. So let's just say, okay, Holy Spirit, I drink of you. And symbolically, just raise it up and receive it and drink it, swallow it down. Wow. And let it go down into the depths of your innermost being. Let it fill you up inside as you receive more of the Holy Spirit. Wow, that's good, isn't it? Yeah. Well, how many of you are thirsty, though? You want more than just a little drink, right? Okay, you better get a bigger cup. All right. Say, come, Holy Spirit, would you come and fill my cup with your wonderful Holy Spirit so when I open my mouth to receive, I receive more of you. Yes, Lord. Just open your mouth and take a big drink. Whoa, and gulp it down. Whoa, and let it fill you up deep inside, right down to your toes, filling you. Whoa, all the way through. Whoa, that's good. Well, how many are really thirsty? I think you better stand up for this one. Okay, get out your barrel. Shoot. Whoa. Say, come, Holy Spirit, I am so hungry. And I'm thirsty for more of you. Whoa. I want to be totally filled up, Lord. Come and fill up my barrel with your wonderful Spirit. Well, and now you have to wait for a minute because it takes a minute or two to fill up the barrel. Just say, come and fill it up, Lord. Come and fill it up. Fill it up. Fill it up till it gets heavy with the weight of your presence and glory, Lord. Okay. Now, if you can, try to pick it up. Whoa, and drink it back. Whoa, and I think this time you get all drenched with it too. Did you get soaked in his presence and soaked in his glory? Yeah. Whoa, as we take a big drink of you, Lord. Whoa, yes, Lord. This is just kind of a fun way of doing it. Just, again, something in the natural that speaks of the supernatural, doesn't it? Well, you want another barrel? You're ready for another barrel? Okay. Stretch your arms as wide as you can get. Brace yourself. And say, come, Holy Spirit. Come and fill up my barrel with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Wow. And wait as he fills it and fills it and fills it and fills it. Whoops. One time my head almost fell in it. Wow. Okay. And now try to pick it up if you can. Whoa. Pick it up. Whoa. And dump it all over the person beside you. Get along. Fill them up with the Holy Spirit. Splash them in his presence. Whoa. Get them all wet. Whoa. Come, Holy Spirit. Shoo. Whoa. I can tell there's some heavy drinkers around here. Whoa. Okay. We also learned another one we learned just recently. How many of you want the real good stuff, the real strong stuff? Okay, I want you to get two little shot glasses, one in each hand. That's the strong stuff, right? The strong stuff. Lord, yes, I want more of the wine of your Holy Spirit, Lord. The strong stuff. Okay, and then what you do is you go, take it down. Whoa, much as you can, drink it down. Whoa. Whoa, that gets you drunk real fast. Whoa. Well,